This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And we've also got our guest for the next 20 or so minutes, Loz Visser. Good morning to you, Loz.
Good morning, Tess.
Great to have you in the studio. Yeah. So I need to declare a bit of an interest here. I've known Loz for at least 30 years. No, 35? 38.
I remember when...
God, you make me feel old.
I remember Tess when he had hair.
I was gorgeous then, wasn't
and
I?
And a big moustache. He was one of the village people.
I've seen the earlier photos. Yeah. He wasn't only gorgeous, he knew it.
He was heterosexual too.
I wished I did know it, actually. Damn, I could have scored more. Anyway.
I don't think you had any trouble scoring, Tess.
Loz has lived most of his life as a woman, actually. A lesbian.
Yep.
Not long after turning 50, Loz came out as a trans man. Loz has been pretty active in this space, has been telling this story. Recently, Loz spoke at a New South Wales legal conference on transgender laws for young people. Loz was recently interviewed on Men's Health in GQ magazine with a great photo. These days, Loz works as a personal growth consultant and has a thriving practice. But Loz, I've got to ask you, tell us, what have been some of your highlights in your transitioning process?
Some of the highlights were, you know, getting a nice deep voice. Starting to feel like my outward image was starting to feel like how I felt inside, because that was even a surprise for Tass, I think, when I decided, oh, I better declare this, and I had to be honest with myself. So I went to the gender, and I was so transphobic for a very long time. Everybody was trans crazy, and because it was, you know, the usual thing. And I just woke up one day and I went to the gender clinic, which is very good in Melbourne. And it was a whole different way of understanding myself.
Is it the clinic out at Monash?
Yes. Yep. But where I went was, I think, oh God, it was out southeast somewhere.
Yeah, probably Monash.
It was
somewhere.
A private doctor and who belonged to the gender centre in Victoria. And it was a different way of understanding myself. I'd done so much personal growth on myself for 30-something years and, you know, became trained incredibly in it and, you know, travelled the world and was, you know, very it was an amazing part of my life. And it was just an understanding of myself on a more deeply spiritual belief that I had about myself.
So what was it about that? What made you, you know, say, yep, I'm actually going to explore this more deeply?
I think it was a lot of the younger trans men around me I was so impressed with. I was impressed with their honesty. I was in my own denial. Like, my mother knew, because my sister would say, who actually turned 59 yesterday, so happy birthday
to your sister.
Yeah, my gorgeous sister. And she would say to my mother, oh, look, Loz is climbing up that tree too high. My mother goes, shh, he might hear you. So it was my mother.
Yeah.
It was more than just being a tomboy. So I was always competing against the boys in sports until they started picking on me because I had breasts. And that's as I started to develop. And then I was called George of the Jungle at school. And and they would sing the song to me. So I was picked on. I was the first girl in high school, Preston East High, to wear pants, low slung. White shirt, green tie, you know, I made sure I was really cool. But I got picked on again. And the boyfriend that I picked at the time was Peter Spiel, who had long blonde hair down to here. So it was my... certainly things changed after that. So I was... it was something.
So you're sort of in denial, but then you weren't in denial.
Yeah, I knew. I just thought, well, the next thing is just, oh, I think I'm a lesbian. You know, because my mother was also had gone into a relationship with a woman, very butch femme relationship that my mother. So my mother was quite ahead of her time as well. So. Mm. So people would say, oh, you're in rebellion, you know, and I say, no, I'm actually very much like my family system. So so I did a lot of that work of the child of, you know, your childhood stuff, because I thought that's why I'm like I am, you know. And fundamentally, as the LGBT, which used to be just the lesbian and gay force, I joined, I think, you know, probably 7 years ago, what I would call the gender revolution, where gender is very different to sexuality.
Yes.
And I started to explore and learn myself about myself. Probably who I was going out with at the time was a great influence in that way too. So I think have her to thank or not thank.
So has it been a difficult process?
Yeah, it was very difficult because what began to happen was I started to think that I was like nuts. You know, what are you doing? You know, this is, you're 50, grow up. You know, that voice, that inner critic.
You've been like this all your life, just, you know, this is who you are, stick with it.
And then I just decided with the consultation with the psych, you know, he said, Wells, he said, we can't explain it. I read the Testosterone Files by Max Wolfwild and I totally related to that book. And I also lived in San Francisco for a while where I was watching very closely a lot of people transitioning. And I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing this because there was one very good question that was asked, which was, if men and women were equal in power in our society, would you still transition? And I stopped and I went, gee, that's a really good question. And I thought about it and I thought, no, there's something ethereal or something in my feeling state that's going on that I need to explore. And I must say, since taking testosterone, I started to become calmer. The emotional landscape, which was a highlight, changed. All of a sudden I saw women and they were crying. I'm like, what's your problem? You know, and this empathic person was disappearing. I was saying things like I was a 16-year-old man, you know, like, quite sexist in some ways, you know. I couldn't believe sometimes the things that were coming out of my mouth. And I realised
so hormones do actually have a fair bit to do with people's
behaviour. I realised the power of testosterone. I started to open up jars and break the jar instead of opening the jar. And
so what, you physically became stronger?
Oh, yes. It was almost instant.
And emotionally, how were you different?
Well, I stopped crying. So, you know, sometimes it's good to have a cry. But I was more practical. More like if I saw somebody upset, even in my practice, I started to go, oh, what's your problem, you know, which I shouldn't really be admitting on air.
Does that mean that you lost empathy, though? You didn't lose empathy.
No, I didn't lose empathy, but it became more of an intellectual pursuit. And I started to relate to men very, very differently. And then I met my friend David in Sydney because I was living in Sydney. I moved to Sydney for a while. And I was living with my friend David and we would not living, we were sort of living together, but everyone thought we were partners. And I'm like, no, we're heterosexual men at gay bars. You know, like all the gay men were just like, you were both in screaming denial. And the whole conversation of male privilege came up because I suppose what I was seeing was...
Hold that, because I think I want to have a longer conversation about male privilege.
All right.
And we might do that after we take a little break shortly. But,
highlights were I started to grow a bigger moustache than yours. Yours used to be. Sorry.
Well, mine's now white. It's just horrible. Just look like an old man.
Look, there was things that started to happen, like the way that men were relating to me was how I had felt I wanted to be related to by men. And what was really interesting is when they found out I was trans, they would go back to treating me. So I started to really see something from a sociological point of view that was like, there's something really weird. It was a highlight for me to start to discover this male part of myself.
So, Loz, now you're a male.
Yeah.
Has your sexuality changed? You were a lesbian, so you were attracted to women. Who are you? Well, I don't know how to ask the question, but
Yeah. Well, you've known me.
You've just asked it. I think we all got the gist.
Yeah. Well, I still am very attracted to women.
Okay.
I went through a period of being attracted to men, but it was because I wanted to be like them. So, like, you know, if Elvis Presley had been, you know, 30 something and still alive, I might have, you know, jumped on him and in his leather outfit. So I was actually.
So do you consider yourself heterosexual now?
Yes, I suppose I would, you know. Yeah.
Is that a label that you use?
Well, look, if I go to a lesbian bar, I get ignored, which I find very uncomfortable. Yeah. If I go to a gay male bar, I'm risking, you know, my whole gay male virginity. So. But I often wear my leather outfits to keep them away. You know, do the daddy dom thing. So, yes.
Now, if you've just tuned in, we're chatting
yeah,
with...
Yeah, this is getting...
We're chatting with Loz.
It's getting really interesting.
Who's sharing their personal experience with transitioning. Loz Visser lives as a man, and we're going to take a very short break and come back. And I want to talk about this notion of male privilege.
Loz, one thing I was going to ask you, we're going to talk about male privilege, but I was going to ask you, the transitioning process, other than the sort of psychosocial, physically, is it, you know, challenging?
Well, I think the younger you are, the better. For myself, I've had a real aversion to any type of surgery. Mm. So I consider myself male. If people see me in the street, they just go, "It's a guy," you know. Mm. So apart from people like Tass, who have known me for a very long time, that can see the dyke in me, you know.
But lost surgery, what sort of surgery are you talking
chest
about?
Chest surgery, or, you know, having parts of grafts taken from your arm and your leg to construct a penis and things like that.
Oh, right.
Which is really intense. And there's no...
And chest surgery is breast reduction?
Breast reduction.
Or removal?
Removal into and reconstruction into a male chest, which is different to...
the structure of the female
breast.
Chest.
Oh, really? How's it different? Yeah.
Well, the female breast is soft and billowing, you know.
Yeah, but how's the chest?
For some women, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my fantasy, I think, really. Mm. But the male chest is much more firm and square across.
It depends on how old you are.
They're different kind of boobs.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, I just say I have man boobs, you know, so, you know. But yes, the testosterone gave me sleep apnea, so I made a decision to stop taking testosterone because of the effects that it was having on my health. Mm. And I, you know, always warn you about that. And I didn't, you know, you're going to do some weird thing of being a superhero and nothing's going to affect me. Well, that's my understanding of it. And I just decided, well, I'm going to be genderqueer. You know, it's like, I'm not going to do the physical change. And I understand I've got very close friends that have done the complete physical change. And I just think at my age and my health started to change in a way that I didn't like. Things like stretching became really like, you know, really growing. And it was called growing pains. And,
wow.
It's like, and, you know, and also the, you know, your sexual libido, wanting, goes through the roof, you know. I would have taken you three on all at once, so, you know.
So that's the testosterone, the drug.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, when that first enters, first entered my body, everything I looked at I wanted to shag, so, and I just, I understand, I used to say to, in men's groups, that I was involved in my personal growth life. I was over in England doing a personal growth group and some of the men said, "So, Loz," stirring me up, "what's it like to be a man in your sexuality?" And I said, "Oh, God, how did you guys survive being teenagers?" You know, because I was just sexually on all 24/7. So I just really feel sorry for the teenagers out, and men, just that chemistry that happens is just so... very different to the female
That's interesting.
When the female, so, and also the other aspects of testosterone and everything was, you know, I started to get hair everywhere. And
so you now have to shave, of course.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to do that?
I quite enjoy it. It's a bit of a fetish, I think.
Jesus.
Around where you live, Tass, there's a very good hairdresser there, old barber.
Tass, oh, the Russian.
Russian.
Tass hasn't needed that for quite a while.
I often go in there and I ask for a clean cut, that whole thing. I love that whole thing, so, you know.
So, Loz, you said earlier on that you now identify as genderqueer.
I'm more male, but yeah, it's like my aunt was over last night, and she calls me she. And
yeah, I was going to ask you, what are your preferred pronouns?
Well, I actually don't mind either, because I'm not. I've met a lot of trans people that demand to be called she or he, and I'm like, well, I really don't care. You know, it's like, I mean, why? There's a 50 years of a very powerful woman that lives inside me. Mm. I'm not going to deny that. So, on the spectrum, I guess I'm just really comfortable with, okay, well, I'm genderqueer because I'm not going to be completely male physically, and I never really will be. So I think everybody has their own journey, and everyone's journey is very, very different. Like, I've met children, and, you know, they are the other gender, you know. It's just what's going on. So the laws around that have to be, you know.
Loz, we interviewed a young author here recently, Nevo.
Yes, I've met Nevo.
And Nevo... identifies as genderqueer, but at different points in their life, their gender is different.
Yes.
So when they refer to themselves as the, you know, particular age, they were a female or a male, or so their gender is much more fluid in that sense. Is that your experience, or have you always?
I would say I'm more on the masculine, more male. Nevo, I know Nevo, very beautiful young person.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous being. Great book too, so Finding Nevo. So for me, I'm more on the masculine sphere. I always have been. Dared me to wear a dress to a wild woman party, which I can't wait.
So making this choice to actually sort of say, this has been a really important sort of public statement about, you know, what you've lived with for all of those years.
And it's really interesting because for me, I just didn't know. There wasn't a word transgender, even in my whole, like, I was really even discriminated against in my personal growth life with people that are personal growth facilitators, which would really, you know, shocked me, which is why part of the reason, you know, I moved away, because there was a lack of understanding. There was a lot of what I would say now, the word transphobic or even homophobic, you know, aspects related back to me, because I was teaching a world-class program, but I was...
People weren't behaving in a world-class way.
No, it would be like being in Parliament, you know. It's the same thing.
Loz, talk to us about male privilege. It's something that you've sort of tossed around.
The thing that I noticed was doors open for me that didn't before. So
What do you mean by that?
Well, I was very lucky to become the first female assistant coach in the AFL.
Oh, yeah.
But then what I noticed happen was just people just wanted me to come in and be interviewed, or men would be – there was more camaraderie. There was – women would treat me completely differently. So now I'm not sure whether that is just – women found me much more attractive because I'm much more handsome, or I'm better looking, or whatever. I don't know. You know, it just the expression of who I am as a male was receiving a lot more attention. Doors were opening. People wanted my opinion. People weren't arguing with me and saying, "Well, you're just a radical feminist, and what would you know?" Which is also so. I was also hearing what men were saying about women.
Oh, right. Wow.
And, oh, my God.
And what was it?
Well, it wasn't very nice. And that's when I went, these men are just being completely sexist. I remember being in Burma on this plantation listening to this older British man, and the women were separated while the men had cigars and we're all talking about politics. I felt like I was, you know, back in the Raj or something. And they said, what do you see as the problem? I said, well, one of the problems I see right now is that the women are sitting down one end and we're sitting, and they, all the men just went quiet. It's like I spoke something that wasn't allowed to be mentioned.
Yeah, like you're a traitor. You're being a traitor.
Well, and I get from the lesbians that I'm a traitor to them, and I get from the men that if I speak about being a feminist, that I'm a traitor to the man. So
that puts you in a really sort of difficult space in some ways, doesn't it?
Well, it's just about what I believe. I believe in women's rights. So
and lots of men do.
I believe now in men's rights. I've watched the documentary The Red Pill, which talks about men's rights. And it's very interesting in that, you know, I still am very reserved because I don't want the backlash of the whole community out there. But, yeah, there's men's rights, you know, men go to war.
Loz, have you experienced discrimination as a trans man?
More or less, maybe that's, you know.
Well, as a woman, and then as a lesbian woman, I was always, you know, standing up for the woman that I was with and getting into, you know, if there was a heterosexual man, you think you're a man, come on, let's fight. Now they don't fight me. They sort of go, you're really interesting, or I want to have a conversation with you. I found that there's no discrimination towards me as a man. But when I was a woman, there was this discrimination.
Isn't that interesting?
The conversation that I have with men, regular men in the street that meet me, or in a bar, or at the particularly at the football, go Collingwood. that's your team, Tass.
No, it's not.
Bone of a contention.
You know, I don't bury it.
Tass, I agree. Well, he's a Western Suburbs boy, and I don't know why he says he, you know, doesn't bury it for the dogs. But, you know, he just runs with the hares and hunts with the hares.
I know. He's like that, isn't he? He's a bit like that. You know, he's very much like that.
But Loz, we're almost out of time.
Okay. I have to say, male privilege. I don't know whether it should be called that.
Yeah.
I think it's the difference between men and women needs to be respected and honoured both ways. Now, I think we're a sophisticated society, and let's get sophisticated about it.
Great. You know, great. So, Loz, I think, you know, having you come and share your story and talk about your experiences is actually fantastic, because it actually brings to life the issues that people are experiencing. And it would be remiss of me to say that if any of our listeners feel that they need to talk about this, probably the first port of call would be Switchboard. And I've got to give you the number. It's 1-800-184-527. I'll repeat that. 1-800-184-527. Switchboard is a great source of information and referral. And there are a whole range of support groups and services out there. And we haven't gone into any of those because we've been much more focused on your story today. But hopefully your story has gone some way towards demystifying.
Absolutely.
And and reducing stigma associated with transitioning issues.
The one last thing I like to say is, with the stigma, it comes from within, and I've just really always been very strong about who I am, whether it's a woman or a man. So who I am is really a powerful person, and I think that is really important for all trans people or people of difference to remember that that there's a power within them that they just have to believe in.
Absolutely. Loz, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.